Welcome to the Vipe High School Spotlight on Talk 1370.
Turn your audio up, Central Tech. You're about to listen to the best hour of high school sports talk on radio. This is the Vipe High School Spotlight. My name is Thomas Bing, one of the hosts of this program. Excited to be here today. Obviously, it was great to have UIL 5A and 6A football return this past week. We will dive into some of the notable results from this past week in the Austin area and Central Texas. We will obviously also let you know some of the UIL volleyball teams that have impressed so far in the 2020 season. We have a great interview with a five-sport athlete at Mason High School, Tristan Keller. You probably heard of her because she recently joined Mason's storied varsity football program. So we'll be talking to her in segment two. We will be updating our Vipe Austin UIL 4A, 5A, and 6A football rankings firsthand on this program. We will be also giving you and announcing the show's team of the week and player of the week. And we also have a great new addition to this program as well. And I'm excited to bring him in right now. You heard him live here on this station, actually, on Friday night during Cedar Park's broadcast against Austin Vandergrift. And, you know, he's been their play-by-play guy for a long time, does a lot at Cedar Park for their athletics. And just wanted to bring him in. Welcome aboard, Brad Cohn.
Hey, how are you, Thomas? Good to be here.
Pretty good.
Definitely
glad to be here. Glad you're a part of the discussion today. Like I said, I wanted to kind of start the show off with our air recap. And, you know, what we'll do on the first segment of this show is look back at the high school football scene from the week that just concluded. Luckily, we're 5 weeks in technically, if you include all the small schools, but the big school started this week. And so that was a big splash, and we are back full swing at Vipe. And like I said before, you were at the Cedar Park Austin Vandergrift game on Friday, and big win for the Timberwolves. You know, Austin Vandergrift had not lost a regular season game since 2017. And, you know, for Cedar Park, you know, actually for both these communities, this is a big rivalry in Leander ISD. And Cedar Park seems to continue to get closer and closer where they've been in past years, you know, whether they've been winning or competing for state championships. I know this year, you know, you got a multi-year quarterback in Ryder Hernandez. You got guys across the board that are very experienced as well that seem to continue to get closer to that stage that they have been in the past. But I wanted to start out, Brad, by asking you about the performance that you saw from Cedar Park this past week, because, you know, for them to overcome that hurdle, for them to get a big time win early, how do you feel like that can carry this team for the rest of the season?
Yeah, very well could. Vandergrift may well be the toughest team on the regular season schedule, so the win to start off the season certainly could do that sort of thing for them. One of the weird things is you can slice and dice Cedar Park's football schedule up in the last decade or so a whole bunch of different ways, and just about any way you can do it, at home, on the road, in district, and playoff, whatever, non-district games against 6A teams, they come out winning about four out of every five games. That's the thing, except season opener. They have not been good at season openers. In fact, Carl Abzek, I think he's 59-8 in his career at Cedar Park now, but he was 2-3 in season openers going to last night. Now, part of that has to do with his scheduling philosophy. They don't just schedule anybody. It's always 6A teams and non-district, and it's not poor ones. It's usually state-ranked 6A teams, but they're still 29-8 in those games since they started doing that over 10 years ago. But that also sets you up to have a game that you could certainly lose in an opener. So, not starting out 0-1. Now, for the first time since 2016, they lost the 17, 18, and 19 season openers, and were kind of playing from their heels from that point on. You're right. This is something that could kind of get them back in the saddle, so to speak, and go on. You're right. They've got all sorts of weapons back. They've got their top five receivers back from last year. There's over 2,000 receiving yards from last year that are back on the roster this year. All of those guys played great roles last night. They did a good job. They did a lot of the same things to Vandergrift last night that they did to Westlake in the last scrimmage of the season a week ago. The game kind of started out slow. They got a little bit behind. Then all of a sudden, they just took utter control, both sides of the ball, and scored touchdown after touchdown after touchdown. And so they're liking where they are right now. They really handled the number one or number four ranked 6A team in a scrimmage. They handled Vandegrift, who had given them fits the last 2 years. They like where they are.
Well, they should be. And obviously, going back to Friday night's action, I mean, what specifically impressed you about what Cedar Park did? Because, I mean, you know, Vandegrift, like we've mentioned the last couple of minutes, is a solid program. They've been making deep runs of the playoffs the last couple of years. And, you know, for Cedar Park, you know, you're starting out not only on a good note, but you're like, hey, like, we already have a quality win under the belt. Now let's see what we can do beyond that.
Yeah, looking at some of the numbers from last night, Ryder Hernandez went 21 for 25, 80% completion rate. He hit his first eight. Then he threw one out of bounds on purpose because he was chasing, couldn't find anybody. Then he hit his next 10. So 19 of his first 19 passes went exactly where he wanted them to go. 258 yards, two touchdowns, a 44-yarder to Josh Cameron. That's his nickname with us. 46 yards to Preston Scott. Cameron had eight catches for 107 yards and a touchdown. He is probably 3 or 4 weeks away from taking all the receiving records at Cedar Park. Ryder Hernandez is probably 3 or 4 weeks away from taking all the quarterbacking records at Cedar Park. Kaysen Wiesenhutter on defense, a pick, three pass defends, six tackles. Ian Ferguson had three of the six sacks by the Black Rain. Vandegrift only had 160 total yards, 65 and 30 of that, 95 total of those 160 on two plays. They only ran six plays in Cedar Park territory the entire night. So the Black Rain came to play. Lots of pressure on the quarterback. He was running for his life all night long. There really isn't any part of the game that says, well, this was done well enough to win. It really was a great effort all around. The coaches are ecstatic. They can't find anything to fault with. So they've got to find something to work on this week just to get better at all phases.
That's some great stats that you pointed out for some of those players. Just quickly, though, you know, do you feel like this is a team that can play for a state championship or at least go, you know, maybe the Regional Finals, state semifinals this year?
Yes, they've got the tools for it. There's two places where it might break down. One, they still aren't running the ball very well when they're inside the red zone, inside the 20, and the passing area kind of shrinks and it's easier for the defense to cover. You got to be able to run there. They're not running too well in the red zone. They need to fix that. The other is they've got great talent in the starters, but they don't have a lot of depth this year. Usually they've got a lot of depth and they don't, so they're not going to be able to withstand very many injuries. Those are the only two things I think that would keep them from making a big run at state. I expect that the third round game against Manvel, whoever wins that game may well be the 5A state champ.
Well, we're obviously all excited to see what Cedar Park does the rest of the season. Another Cedar Park school that impressed this week, Cedar Park Vistridge,
looks
strong. Yeah, the Rangers totally dominated the Hayes Rebels this past week, 62-35. Quarterback Kyle Brown, huge game for the Rangers, seven total touchdowns and over 400 yards of offense. A game that I was really invested in on Thursday, Fredericksburg came from behind to beat Bernie. They were down 10 points with just over 2 minutes left in the game, kick a field goal, recover this ridiculous onside kick, and then they go down the field, score with zero time left, and then somehow sneak in this two-point conversion to win the game.
Oh, my gosh.
So big win for the Baton Bills right there. They are really heating up right now. I know they just had a big bounce-back performance after losing last week to a quality Wimberley squad. But, yeah, props to them because, I mean, we'll get into it later on the show, but that 4A top-tier group of programs is really strong this year. Another notable 4A program, Austin Ojeda College, obviously has been very successful in 5A over the last decade and a half. And because of the opening of LASA, like I mentioned last week, they did drop down to 4A this year and actually next year as well. And but because of all the local COVID rules, they didn't get to play until week five.
Yeah.
And they battled a very strong San Antonio Cornerstone Christian School squad and lost 17-10. I do expect the Jaguars to find a way to learn a lot from this game because Cornerstone, just like LBJ, is full of very talented athletes. I do believe that Cornerstone had the edge coming in because they have been playing games going in that matchup. A couple others, Marble Falls came from behind 21-7 against Kyle Lehman, 128-27 in overtime. Temple, big time win, storm late and beat preseason 5A D1 state ranked Longview 40-13 at Jerry's World. Clean surprise, Georgetown Eastview 42-23. Westlake swarmed Shorts Clemens 53-7. Lena Rouse beat Pflugerville Weiss 49-27. Beauty Johnson beat Lockhart, I believe, 31-22. Dribbin Springs also big time win, 14-0 against Kerrville Tyvee. Well, we are wrapping up segment one. We have a great segment too. Yes, we do. With a very impressive athlete on the western edge of our coverage area. Stay tuned for that. You will definitely want to watch it. She is playing basically every sport you can do, and she even plays varsity high school football at Mason. So stay tuned for that. Tristan Keller is on deck momentarily. Talk to you in a few minutes.
Follow the latest in Central Texas high school sports all week long online at VipeATX.com.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Welcome back to the Vipe High School Spotlight on Talk 1370.
Welcome back to the Vipe High School Spotlight. My name is Thomas Bingham, one of the hosts of this great radio program. We have a very special guest on this segment, segment two, Mason five sport athlete Tristan Keller. We actually highlighted her in a story earlier this year, and it's been cool to kind of see that she has been able to achieve another one of her goals that she set for herself a while back, and that was playing varsity football for the very accomplished Mason High School football program. Before we get too far into it, Tristan, welcome to the show. How are you doing today?
I'm good. Just regular Saturday, you know, film. A little sore, but great game yesterday. Excited that we won, so.
That's great. It's great to see Mason back in the win column. And going back a couple weeks, when you finally were able to get your first varsity start, you actually got to start suiting up for the varsity team at Mason. Kind of walk us through that. I mean, what was that moment like? When did you hear that you were going to finally be able to play at the varsity level at Mason?
So I kind of already knew I was going to play varsity after my sophomore years, just kind of expected, I would say. But as of me getting to start, so the day of the game, you know, one of our guys kind of, he got sick. So they're like, oh, like he has to go home because, you know, the virus and all that. So they had to check, you know, all that. So he had to leave. And so during our athletic period, my coach was just like, all right, like you're up. And I was like, okay. And I walked in and I was, you know, getting ready with the first team, thinking about, okay, like what do I need to do? Thinking about preparation, just all that stuff. So, I mean, the start was unexpected, but I would definitely say playing varsity football was just, I mean, we knew it was going to happen. So, yeah.
Tristan, Brad Cohn here, also with Vipe, co-hosting the show with Thomas. I coached three daughters in various sports. I didn't have any sons. I'm really glad to see folks like you getting a chance to do this football thing that the guys have loved for years. Tell me, what lights your fire about football?
I'd say one thing that lights my fire pretty easily is that, like, I'm a girl and these are guys. So it's like, you know, it makes me feel like it's just kind of different. You know, you walk in, you start something new. If it's just like, say you're little and you're starting basketball, like you're really extra excited. You're extra peppy. You're extra, you know, hustle, all that. And so that's one thing I would say, like, definitely lights me up and fires me up every single day that I go out to practice. I would also just say, you know, my coaches and my teammates, they, you know, get me fired up and keep me motivated, just stuff like that. But I would say, you know, the love for the game has always been there for me just since my parents are both coaches and my dad obviously is part of the coaching staff and my brother played. So, you know, being a Mason puncher, it's easy to want to look up to the Mason punchers with the horseshoe on their helmet. So, I don't know. I've always just loved the game since I was little and wanted to play it. So, that's what I ended up doing.
And I know a couple years ago, you know, when Mason won the state championship, you were able to be back on the field at AT&T Stadium. From that moment to, you know, when you played a couple weeks ago for the varsity team, did you ever feel like, you know, one, you would get that opportunity to eventually get to varsity football, but also, like, what was that feeling to say, hey, like, I am officially part of this program?
It was honestly like, so since I was little, you know, you're always like, man, I want to be there. That's how I felt when I was a little kid for every sport. Like, I would watch for basketball, I'd watch the girls, and then for football, I'd watch the guys. And so I would always be like, oh my gosh, like, I want to be there. Like, I want to get there. And I always felt like, oh my gosh, like, am I ever actually going to get there? Like, is this actually going to happen? But, you know, it seems a lot further away than it actually is. But growing up, you know, I just kind of tried to do my best, do my job, and it led me up to that point. And I mean, it's not crazy. The more I think about it, I'm like, man, like, this is kind of crazy I'm here. But after I've looked at all my work and preparation since I was literally about 6 years old, I'm like, you know, I think I deserve this. And like, I just want to keep working and trying to keep better and keep looking forward and try not to just, you know, think about what I've already done and try and keep going for other things, like, you know, different goals.
Tristan, I know you're a wideout and a DB, and all of us when we were kids, you're just talking about this a moment ago a little bit, but we had these players in college and in the pros that we would envision ourselves as being when we were playing football. What player or players did you kind of see yourself as being like as you were growing up?
I wouldn't necessarily say I watched, like, I never watched a lot of NFL and stuff when I was little. I would just kind of watch college because, I mean, that's what my dad would put on. But for basketball, I would definitely say Steph Curry because, you know, my dad got me watching him the year before their championship run. And he was like, he was doing a lot of awesome things. And so it naturally just sparked me to want to be like him. And I like got into him a lot. I would try and mimic him. I would watch videos, just a bunch of stuff. I would always be watching videos. I'd be practicing, you know, doing dribbling, shooting, just all that stuff. So I would definitely say Steph Curry is one for basketball. But for football, I never really followed a team. Like, me, my family and just all my relatives, we don't necessarily follow a team. So for football, I mean, I don't really have a specific person, but I like, you know, I like to just flip through the channels and sit there and like watch them. I'm not a person that just sits there and watches the ball. I like to watch specific people, even if it's like, oh, I'm going to watch a D lineman for this drive, or I'm going to watch a safety and see what they do for this drive. But I wouldn't say I necessarily have like a favorite player or a role model for football.
And Tristan, I mean, obviously, you know, you put that tweet up and it went viral. You know, so many people retweeted it, liked it on Twitter. And what was that feeling like, you know, knowing that, hey, like, you know, so many people support what I'm doing?
It's really surreal, honestly. It's been a few weeks, actually, since it's happened. And, you know, some people are still talking about it here. You know, it's kind of passed for some. So it's on and off partially now. But when it happened, it was almost too good to be true because I just felt like, oh my gosh, like, okay, I have 200 likes, like, it's going to stop now. And then it was at like 1,000. I was like, yeah, there's no way it's going to go past this. And then it got to like 5,000. I was like, yeah, this is definitely it. Like, I'm like, there's no way more people are going to keep liking it and like supporting me and commenting all these things. And they just like, it kept coming and coming and coming. And I was like, oh my gosh, like, this is amazing. Not only just the likes, but all the like direct messages, reposts, you know, all of the comments I received. So it was so amazing. And I couldn't have asked for anything else. Like, I mean, I didn't know it was going to happen. Like, it was a surprise, but I'm so glad that it did. It, you know, it makes me happy to know, like, I've impacted some people, a lot of people, hopefully, and just to know that there's still a bunch of supportive people out there. So it was awesome.
And who was the biggest person that you heard from? Was there any high-profile celebrity or anyone that you were like, hey, like, I'm so, like, thankful that they reached out to me?
So I did actually have an NFL player direct message me pretty early, and that was amazing. And then actually quite recently, funny story, I was actually in class, and our school does not allow us to have our phones unless, like, instructed to. So I'm in my science class, and we're doing, like, a lab where we have to time things, time these little cars, you know, racing, stuff like that. And I get out my phone to get on my timer, and there's this one little blue notification from Twitter, and it's like, John Cena just now, like, just followed you.
That's awesome.
I was like, oh my gosh, in the middle of class. And, you know, they don't let us, like, get on our social media during class and stuff like that. And I was like, oh my gosh, John Cena just followed me. And every single person just, like, comes around, and the teacher's like, what? Let me see. Everyone's like, and she's like, let me get on my phone. She's like, are you sure that's real? I was like, I don't know. Let me check. And she was like, okay, like, go look. And, like, they're talking about it. And then one of my best friends, her name's Hannah Bishop, she was like going crazy for like at least 15 minutes. She's like, oh my gosh, my best friend's a celebrity. John Cena, this is so crazy. Like, he literally has like over 12 million followers and all this is so crazy. And like all this stuff. And she was going crazy for like a long time. Like, I was like telling her, I was like, okay, like, you got to sit down. We have to do our work and stuff. And I'm over here trying to time. She's like, let me see again. Like, let me see again. And, you know, we get out of class and she's like telling everyone, she's like, oh my gosh, everyone, like, y'all need to listen to this. This just happened. Like, this is so crazy. So that was definitely one thing that recently just happened that it was crazy.
Well, that's awesome. And I know, you know, when I interviewed you earlier this summer, you know, you laid out all these goals that you had for yourself. And I know two of them you've already, you know, checked off. You've gotten, you know, college basketball offers, you know, and I know obviously you wanted to make the varsity football team at Mason. So congratulations on all your success so far. I know there's other ones that you told me that you are still chasing after, and you still have plenty of time to do while you're a high school athlete at Mason. So congratulations on making the varsity team. Congratulations on all your success so far, and obviously being a college basketball recruit. We look forward to covering you more during the rest of your high school career.
All right. Thank you so much.
We just talked with Mason five-sport athlete Tristan Keller. Also, that includes her time as a female varsity football player at that school. And she is a college basketball recruit, let me specify. So she's definitely an athlete to watch in multiple areas, and we definitely have enjoyed covering her the two times now that we've interviewed her. So thank you so much once again to Tristan for her time, and we will be right back for segment three. Got rankings, we got more area coverage. Talk to y'all soon.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
You're listening to the VIPE High School Spotlight on Talk 1370.
Welcome back to the VIPE High School Spotlight. My name is Thomas Bingham, going alongside by Brad Cohn. We are the hosts of this great radio program. We have another loaded segment ahead for segment three. We're going to go through our updated UIL 4A and 5A football rankings. Obviously, like I said last week, the first release of these rankings will be on this program every week. We will ultimately obviously publish them on VIPE.com as well, but this is a great way for us to kind of dive into our rankings. We start with the UIL 4A, and you know, the number one team still has not changed from even preseason. Lampasas, another off week, they're still perfect at 3-0. They've had some quality wins so far, so not surprised that the Badgers are where they're at. Number two, Wimberley, they improved to 4-1. They stay at number two. Fredericksburg, like I mentioned before, big time win against Bernie, come from behind outing on Thursday. They move up a spot to four. They were four last week. They're three this week. Number four is Salado this week. They also improved to 4-1. They were previously number six. Number five is Austin Elbajero College. First game out of the year, battled but lost to San Antonio Cornerstone Christian School. So still think very highly of the Jaguars going in the rest of the season. I do feel a lot of this loss is credited to the fact that this is the first game in 5 weeks that they played. And then that doesn't include all the time off that they had for COVID. So LBJ does stay in the top five. Number six is LaGrange. They win their third straight game, the Leopards did. They're now 3-2 on the year, bump up from 8 to number 6. Giddings is the one that dropped a game. They're now 3-2. They fall from 5 to 7. Burnett bounced back. They're now 3-2. They're number 8. They move up from number 9. Smithville loses in week 5. They're now 2-3. They were 7. They're now 9. And then number 10, Gatesville enters the area rankings for the first time this season with a win this week. So the 1 through 10 once again for our updated VIPE Austin UIL 4A football rankings. Number 1, Lampasas. Number 2, Wimberley. Number 3, Fredericksburg. Number 4, Salada. Number 5, Austin Elbajero College. Number 6, LaGrange. Number 7, Giddings. Number 8, Burnett. Number 9, Smithville. And number 10, Gatesville. The team that dropped out is 0-5, Taylor. In 5A Division 1, our top 5 for that classification, Brad will be happy about this. Cedar Park remains at number 1 with that big time win against Austin Vandegrift. They obviously are 1-0 on the 2020 season. Dripping Springs, big time win against Kerrville Tyvee. They're 1-0. They stay at number 2. Georgetown wins as well. They're 1-0. They stay at number 3. So not much change at the top. Manor did not have a game this week. They stay at number 4. And the team that is new to the top 5 is the new kid on the block, Buda Johnson. Big time win against Lockhart. First varsity win in program history. Congrats to the Jaguars. The team that fell out was Pflugerville Weiss, who was previously number 5. In 5A D2, you have number 1, Liberty Hill, still leading the pack at 1-0. Previously, also number 1, you have number 2, Leander Glenn. They move up from 5 to number 2 with a big-time season opening victory. Number three, Leander Rouse. They were previously not ranked. They picked up a big win in week one as well, so they have jumped into the top five. Austin McCallum did not play this week. They stay at number four. And Lockhart falls to number five from number three because of that Buta Johnson loss. The team that did fall out was Georgetown Eastview, who struggled mightily this week. So they fall out from number two. Now, before we get too far into before we get to what I was going to bring up, let's quickly go through our area VIPE Austin Yule 6A football top 10 rankings. The team that stays at number one is Lake Travis. No game for the Cavaliers this week, but they obviously are very highly thought of going the season, so the Cavaliers are still at number one. Number two, Westlake, big-time win against Schertz Clemens, 1-0 on the year. They stay at number two. The team that does move up, Cedar Park Vista Ridge from 4-3. They are 1-0 on the year against a very quality, or with a quality, a victory against Hayes. Number four, Temple. I already said before, they impressed not only on the field at AT&T Stadium Arlington, but on statewide TV as well. So Temple is up from 6-4. Austin Vandegrift falls from number three to number five with that loss to Cedar Park. Number six, Colleen Shoemaker, is one on the year. They move up from 7-6. Del Valle, big time win this week. They move up from 9-7. They're 1-0 on the year. Hutto struggled. They fall from 5-8. Round Rock Westwood, the Warriors move up a spot from 10-9. And then number 10, Killeen, enters the area rankings for the first time this season. They won. The team that fell out was previous number 8, Hayes, who lost to Vista Ridge. So, we have so much more to get through on this program. But before we get to the volleyball segment, Brad, I wanted to kind of ask you about kind of the week one so far in terms of what other teams to you have really looked good so far? What teams you feel like have a lot of promise going this season?
Well, you and I were talking offline a little bit about Round Rock beating Waco Midway 31-14. They've got a great quarterback in Ford. It seemed like he had a million big plays last year. They've got a stout defense. Midway is always a quality program. And for the Dragons to have a multi-touchdown win over a team like that is really impressive. And I think if you were talking about the top handful of 4, 5, 5A, 6A teams in the Austin area right now, Round Rock's got a great bid to be one of those teams. They're really looking good. And look for Liberty Hill to kind of get back the magic that they've had recently, too. They had the 44-25 win over Ellison, brand-new stadium, enrollment increasing all the time. It seems like every other repartialization, yeah, they're going up another division. And, a lot of good teams out there. Vista Ridge hanging 62 on Hayes and my buddy Neil Hughes' team. It's so – yeah, there's a lot of good-looking teams out there.
Yeah, Round Rock, I thought highly about potentially putting them in the top 10 this week. I was just really impressed with what Killeen did. But I thought it was really down to either Killeen or Round Rock. And I agree. I think Round Rock has a lot of potential going into the rest of the season. And, you know, they do have a very tough district in 25-6A. It was previously the old 13-6A that has, you know, the Vandegrifts. It has the Cedar Park Vista Ridges, the Round Rock schools. And it's a very battle tested district. And a lot of those teams can beat each other up. And that's the thing that's crazy about it is, and you saw it a lot last year. There were teams that missed the playoffs that beat some of the teams that end up making the playoffs. And it's that type of competitiveness that really makes that district, so fun to watch and keep track of. And yeah, definitely keep track of what Round Rock is doing. The Dragons have a great running back and a quarterback. Obviously, you mentioned Seth Ford already at quarterback. And it's one of those things where, I think I said this on last week's show where I used to think that the old 25-6A was the very deep 6A district in the area. But I think with Hutto jumping in there this year, I think the new 25-6A that has the Vandegrifts and Sierra Park Vista Ridges and those Round Rock schools and stuff, and obviously Hutto, I really think that that's probably the toughest 6A district in the Austin area.
Or the most competitive between themselves. The one that's going to be hardest to figure out who's going to win the darn thing, yeah.
For sure. Well, and I know we were talking about some 6A right there as well. And are there any 5A teams that you feel like, besides Cedar Park, that can really challenge the Timberwolves or even in Division II that can kind of make a run in the area?
You know, Cedar Park's in a district that's kind of top and bottom heavy. There's Texas football picks the four playoff teams to be Cedar Park, Georgetown, Hendrickson, and Manor. And they all sound like they're pretty good. And to miss out Anderson, Weiss, Pflugerville, Leander, and they've been struggling lately. And so that seems kind of logical there. I think Georgetown is always very good. It's one of those teams that, you know, that you see rivalries like this all over, where for whatever reason, Cedar Park always seems to have Georgetown's number. And, so Georgetown's going to be out to try to change that again this year. Hendrickson is head coached by a guy, Chip Killian, who actually was the architect of the first Black Rain defense at Cedar Park.
Really?
Defensive coordinator for a number of years. And he went over to Hendrickson when it opened. He's been their head coach since, and he does a great job.
Mm-hmm.
Maynor, of course, beat Cedar Park in the playoffs last year.
Yeah.
Just 3 weeks after
Cedar Park won the regular season,
losing by 53 or something like that. So, yeah, that was kind of weird. So, yeah, it's going to be an interesting district race to see who ends up on top. I still kind of think it's going to be those four teams in the playoffs, but which order they're going to be in, you know. Who knows?
Yeah, Hendrickson's interesting because, you know, they had a down year last year, but then they are dropping down a classification from 6A.
Right.
And I definitely think that's going to give them an edge going the season. But, Anderson's another team that drops down from 6A. Weiss has had some very good athletic success in their early school history. And
Weiss's coach now, Steve Van Meter.
You're right.
The guy who rebuilt Hutto from
that. Yeah, now obviously Brad LaPlante's there now too, or at Hutto. And, it's such a battle. And, you know, I know you mentioned Georgetown. I mean, Georgetown, the town of Georgetown, you know, a lot of great high school success, not only at Georgetown, but Georgetown Eastview. And, that's a battle in itself in 5A D2 with Georgetown Eastview. You got Brenham in that district. And it's one of those things where it's like, you know, the competitiveness of these districts in this area is very strong. And it really reminds me of when I was growing up and even before Vipe moved me over here and covering the Cy Fair district, you know, where it's like,
right.
A battle every week.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, you could have 6-7 teams in a district that could be a playoff team in any other district.
Could win playoff games probably. And
yeah.
Have three of them not even get to go.
Yeah. So, you know, it's great. I love the depth of this area, and I definitely think it's going to continue to pay off over the next couple of months as we continue to talk about the playoff races. And are going to wrap up the show momentarily. We got one more segment to do. We got some volleyball talk. We're going to name our show's player and teams of the week, and maybe some even week two games to watch. Talk to you in a couple minutes.
Follow the latest in Central Texas high school sports all week long online at VipeATX.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
We'll be right back.
Welcome back to the Vibe High School Spotlight on Talk 1370.
Welcome back to the Vibe High School Spotlight. My name is Thomas Payne, joined alongside by Brad Cohn. We're the hosts of this program. And, so far in this program, we've talked about this past week in Texas football in the local aspect of that, talking about UIL 5A, 6A football return, all the great matchups and results so far, some surprises, some impressions so far. And we had a great interview with a Mason 5 sport athlete, Tristan Keller. We've talked about our updated Vibe Austin area 5A, 6A, and 4A football rankings. And before we get done with the show today, we'll have a little bit of volleyball discussion, and we'll hand out two accolades, the show's team of the week, which we're going to start this week. Every week we're going to give away show team of the week and show player of the week, so definitely stay tuned in a couple minutes for that. But before we get to that, I wanted to talk about some area volleyball teams that have looked good so far in 2020. In the two highest classifications, we were talking a few minutes ago in segment three about these district competitiveness just across the board in multiple areas. And you've seen that more even in the whole volleyball scene. A lot of teams undefeated so far. And it's not just like they're 1-0, like they're 5-0, they're 4-0. You start listing them off. You got Sear Park Vista Ridge, 5-0, 5-0 Liberty Hill, 5-0 Austin High, 4-0 Lake Travis. I mean, and then, Austin Amherst School for Young Women Leaders, 4-0, Austin Anderson, 4-0. I mean, just that alone shows the fact that this area, has a lot of talent, for volleyball as well. And that, these district races are looking to be, really fun, over the next couple of weeks. And I know, some of these teams have played a lot of games in a very short period of time to start the season. Usually they're playing in early August, and, they got bumped back about a month, as football did for the two highest classifications. And, for, teams like Vista Ridge to continue doing what they're doing, Liberty Hill to make the jump from 4 to 5A and still find success, Austin High staying up in 6A, Lake Travis still being a volleyball power, Austin Amherst School continuing what they did last year. They had a really good year last year, over 20 wins for them. The Trojans of Anderson, 4-0. It's really good to see that there's a lot of teams that are still undefeated through multiple games. Now, they're not the only ones that have impressed so far. You have Leander Glenn, and I said this on last week's show. This is a team, the Grizzlies, that didn't have a winning record last year. And guess what? They're 6-1 on the year. And we're hoping to talk to the coach at some point during the show's run, because I think something special is going on right now. I know they have a second-year coach currently, so we're hoping to bring her on at some point. But Dripping Springs is still power at 5-1. You got Roanoke Stony Point 4-1, and Roanoke Cedar Ridge at 4-2. So you're seeing teams in 5A and 6A that are having a lot of success so far. Wanted to return to the football scene for a few minutes, hand out some show awards. Well, one of the things that we're going to do on this program is highlight notable team and individual achievements and accomplishments every week. And this week we have two special award winners. The first one is going to be for the team of the week. And this is a team from a school that is new to the area. New not only to varsity competition this year, at least a full varsity competition this year. I know last year for some sports, they were starting to get into the varsity scene, but this year they are in full varsity mode. Obviously they got the JV and freshman stuff as well. But, this program I've been talking about since last year, this program, I had a chance to interview, one of their coaches, actually their AD and their head football coach, as well as this very accomplished, cross-country runner. And, you know, the cross country runner found a lot of success last year, and she was even a freshman. And so just starting from a sport like cross country, knowing that, hey, like this program is already making noise, is going to translate into success to team sports as well. Even the big ones. And we saw that starting on Friday, this program, and I mentioned them a little bit earlier on in this program, both in segment one and segment three. So this program surprised everybody by earning their first varsity win in football program history. And that was Buta Johnson. Props to them. So the Jaguars upset Lockhart, which Lockhart going the year, you know, big expectations. They made the playoffs last year in a very tough district that's predominantly with San Antonio programs. And for Buta Johnson to do what they did, pick up that big time win, really, to me, makes them deserving of this particular award this week. So congratulations to Buta Johnson football for not only earning its first ever varsity football win, but obviously being named the Vibe High School Spotlight Show Team of the Week. The show player of the week is another player I mentioned earlier in this program. And not only did it come in a very quality matchup, but he also went off. And that player is the quarterback at Cedar Park Vista Ridge, Kyle Brown. 6 passing touchdowns, 1 rushing touchdowns for 7 total touchdowns and 439 yards. So congratulations to Buta Johnson football for being named the show Team of the Week. And then obviously Cedar Park Vista Ridge quarterback Kyle Brown for being named the show Player of the Week. Both are very deserving. I wanted to talk some more football with you, Brad. And, you know, we've talked about so far the week one for the big schools. And now it's like, hey, like what's going to happen beyond this? Are there any games that you are looking forward to either in week two or in, you know, the weeks to come that really are going to help shape the high school football scene locally?
Well, I've been so busy working on week one, I haven't really looked much at the schedule coming up, even for week two next week. I know Cedar Park plays Cedar Ridge at the Palmer Palace next Friday night, and that'll be an interesting game too. I don't know if Cedar Ridge is as strong as they have been. You know, they had a running back, Deuce Vaughn, who we had to face the last couple of years. He had 107 yards.
He's at Kansas State now.
Touchdown. He's at Kansas State now, and they just beat Oklahoma in Norman. So he's had a nice bright future after Cedar Ridge. Yeah, I wish I could talk intelligently about that, but I just haven't looked forward to. Obviously, there's certain, you know, burn points through the season. Every, you know, when does Lake Travis play Westlake? You know, those kind of games are always going to be good. But yeah, I just haven't had a chance much to look forward to what's coming up to figure out. And you know, in the big schools, if everybody's only played one game, it's kind of hard to see. You know, somebody be 1-3 or 3-1 when they play this other team, and is that game going to mean as much as it normally does or not? But you know, there are so many great rivalries around here. Round Rock and Westwood hate each other's guts. Cedar Park and Vandy was a good one. Cedar Park's rivalry with Leander is about to be renewed this year. It's been shut down because they're in different classifications the last several years. And we just mentioned Westlake, Lake Travis. There's all kinds of great rivalries, and I'm looking forward to paying attention to all of them.
Well, and there's a couple games a week, too, that have really caught my attention. I know you mentioned one of these teams before. It's actually before they play, obviously, in a couple weeks. But the game that will be going on involving that team this week is Westlake and Waco Midway. So big game in 26-6A, at least featured in a 26-6A team against a team from, the northern area of Central Texas. Another really competitive series the last couple of years that I'm glad is going to be able to be played this year. It's the Hays County Showdown, as I call it. You got Hays and Dripping Springs, two very accomplished programs. Oh, yeah. Both are always competing for the playoffs.
That'll be a slobber knocker.
And I know the last couple of years have been like just battling each other till the end. So definitely keep an eye on those two matchups. I know you mentioned Lake Travis and Westwood before. They're playing this week. So that's going to be a fun game. And Lake Travis hasn't played a game yet. Westwood is 1-0. So it'll be interesting to see how the Cavaliers of Lake Travis do against Westwood. My guess would be pretty good, just considering what Lake Travis has done over the years. But Westwood has that great quarterback in R.J. Martinez. So definitely keep an eye on that matchup. Could be a shootout with the way those quarterbacks are. I know the Lake Travis quarterback is committed to Pittsburgh, Nate Yarnell. So that's going to be a fun game as well. Some other games to keep an eye on. Sam Marcus and Lockhart. Sam Marcus just hired the old Denton Geyer athletic director. We actually interviewed him on last week's show. And I know Sam Marcus played really well against New Braunfels this past week, almost beat the Unicorns. So I think what we saw this past Friday with Sam Marcus is a sign that, you know, Sam Marcus is going to get back to where they have been in the past, you know, competing for the playoffs. I know they've been down the last 2 years, but that's a game to watch because obviously both Lockhart and Sam Marcus are two teams that are trying to get their first win in the season. And I think both of them thought that they had a chance late in those games to get that first win in week one. So now they're both extremely motivated going into week two. So we have a lot to cover on future episodes. Obviously, thank you so much to Brad Cohn for joining me today. It was a great talking to him. Thank you to Mason, 5 sport athlete, Tristan Keller for being our featured interview in segment 2 this week. You can follow Vipe on social media, Vipe ATX on Twitter, Vipe _ ATX on Instagram, Vipe Texas on Facebook. And don't forget to check out Vipe.com and tune in to our Vipe Live Game of the Week on Talk 1370 and Magic 95.5 HD2 every Friday night. Obviously, you heard Brad on Friday, and we got many other great games and matchups ahead on that series as well. So for the final time this week, for Brad Cohn, I'm Thomas Bingham. We will talk to you next week. Adios, folks.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.